Need a website that drives real results? AmericanEagle.com delivers end-to-end digital solutions, from expert web design and development to performance-driven digital marketing. Visit AmericanEagle.com today to get started with your digital transformation.
It is time now for our Thursday visit with Richard Roper, and this morning some thoughts on gambling in our city. Richard?
Yeah, Mayor Johnson. I think you're familiar with him. A recent friend of the show, guest of the show.
I remember him.
So he's in opposition to this, the City Council's License and Consumer Protection Committee. I love all those committees they've had at the City Council, because they all sound like they're from the 1920s, where guys would get up and bang a gavel, or, you know, throw their vest into the ring or something.
Maybe they do.
And maybe they still do. Occasionally they still do. But so they want to bring these gambling terminals to bars and taverns and restaurants across the city's neighborhoods. Now, the mayor's opposed to it, because right now the way the proposal works is the state would get the majority of the profits from that, like 30% of the revenue, and the city would only get 5%. I have to say, I'm opposed to it for different reasons. And this might surprise you, Bob, because as you know, I am a pro-gambling guy. I wrote Bet the House, available now on Amazon after all these years. I'm the only one who watches It's a Wonderful Life and think that Pottersville looks great to me. There's so much going on in Pottersville, right? They got gaming halls and nightclubs.
You're
and everything.
You're pro-gambling.
I'm pro-gambling. But these guys, you know, when we talk about these gambling terminals for folks out there, these are those bright and shiny. They're kind of like slot machines. And honestly, when I see them, they're all across the suburbs, all across Cook County. There are thousands of businesses. You can have them in VFWs. You can have them in taverns. You can even have them in certain truck stops. But you can only have a few, and they're usually I think it's the saddest thing ever when you walk into a local tavern or bar and you see this little velvet rope and like three or four of those gambling terminals. And even though I say, listen, I get it. You know, people are adults. You can make your own decisions. I think it's different if you go into Bally's, or if you go into Bat Rivers, or you go into Joliet, one of those places, you say, all right, I'm going to gamble. But when you're in your local tavern, you go over there and you start throwing the nickels and the pennies and the credit card in there. And the other thing I should mention is they only have to pay out a minimum of 80%, which means for every dollar you put in, they only, you know, Tony Soprano gave you better rates than that, folks. I just want to say. So I think we have enough gambling already in the Chicago area.
In Las Vegas, as soon as you get to the airport, you see the machines everywhere. Yeah. And nothing, I think, more depressing than the scene you describe is walking through the casino in a Las Vegas hotel early in the morning and seeing the people there smoking and drinking and gambling.
All the excitement and glamour where you feel like you're in Ocean's 11 with Clooney and Pitt at night, and it looks so cool and the lights and everything.
Yeah.
In the morning when you're just going down to get your latte and you see those people just in that trance and they're just kind of, and you always see like one part of the couple walking away from the other one. I don't know what to do anymore.
I guess they can't smoke though anymore. Can they in the casino?
Yeah, some you can.
Really?
Yeah, in a lot of them you still, not here in Illinois, but for example, if you go to Hammond Horseshoe, you know, you can still, you're walking through there and it brings back that 1970s kind of feel.
Why doesn't the mayor fight for more than 5% of the revenue? Because Lord knows needs it.
I think that's what he's going to do. And the revenue does go into things like pension funds for police and firefighters. Listen, it's you know, it's what we used to call sin tax, right? You know, because people are going to do it, so we might as well make money off it. But I think, you know, at a certain point, too, you get to a saturation point where you're just taking money out of other gambling pots and putting them into these depressing gambling terminals.
Also this morning, this is a business news rarity these days, the opening of a brick-and-mortar store.
Yeah, Toys R Us, a flagship store coming up in Aurora, I think actually in like this weekend. And this is the exact opposite of walking into one of these depressing places you describe. You know, I love the idea, and they mentioned that they're going to have like Lego stations and Barbie and Hot Wheels and Nerf. That all sounds so 1970s cool nostalgia, and I hope it does great. I think they're opening a couple of dozen of these Toys R Us flagship stores. They have kiosks now, Toys R Us. Like you'll go into a Macy's or someplace like that, and you'll see the nice little, you know, that familiar logo. But I love the idea that people still want to go into the store, the big giant store, and run down the aisles and see what they want. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, see the stuff, feel it.
Yeah,
it's a communal experience,
right? Experience. Yeah,
there's one that opened up in the Hip in Norridge earlier in the year.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one, now it's one of four stores like this worldwide, is that right, Richard?
No, that's the Harry Potter stores you and I were talking about.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and I just recently checked that out, too, and that's, you know, there are only four of those, in London, Tokyo, New York City, and I love the fact that, because Michigan Avenue, unfortunately, you know, they've had the same problems a lot of other, you know, famous boulevards have had, mm-hmm. where, you know, mm-hmm. you see, God, it's so sad when you see a vacant window in a, you know, what used to be a high-end store. So now the Harry Potter store is there, and you walk in, and there's usually a line every morning, and there's all these little employees. There's like two dozen of them all in their maroon shirts, and there's, you know, the Griffin Sliver Lobbin, Ligan Lagan, and all the different things, and they got flying books and all that stuff, and you can get probably almost all of that stuff online, but how much cooler is it to go in there mm-hmm. and check out all the stuff and then go get a butter beer at the little cafe they have.
Great for our city.
Yes.
And before you go, Rich, when you were doing the movie review show with Roger Ebert, mm-hmm. You got to spend some time with Robert Redford, I know. What was yes. that like?
Yeah, at Sundance, of course, we have the Sundance Institute named for his character in Butch Cassidy, and then eventually the Sundance Film Festival. And I was so lucky to have dinner with Robert Redford about 20 years ago. And one of the things I recalled was how much he loved Chicago. You know, knowing I was from Chicago, he had spent some time in Chicago when they made The Sting. A lot of it was shot on back lots in LA, but they did shoot at train stations and things here. And then, of course, he came back for about a half a year to shoot Ordinary People, for which he won the Academy Award for Best Director. And then there was a third time he had a son of his was actually dealing with some health issues and was getting some treatment here. So he was the third time he was here was kind of under the radar. But he told me he thought it was the greatest city in the world, and if he could have lived here. And I love that Robert Redford loved Chicago.
By all accounts and what I've seen, I never met him, he seemed like a regular guy, despite all of his fame.
You know, when you think about it, he's the most famous, one of the most famous actors who ever lived, but you didn't see him a lot on the talk show circuit or on the red carpet circuit. He was, from the start, as a huge movie star, was all about the work. You know, the Sundance Labs, where they would develop movies like Reservoir Dogs and workshop them, and all of his environmental work. So he was always, like he and Paul Newman, of course, with the salad dressing that made millions for charity, they were all about the work and then about using their fame and power, if you will, to pay it forward.
What a career. Yeah. I still love All the President's Men. That's my favorite.
Best journalism movie ever made. And that's the thing about Robert Redford. He did so many genres. You talk about The Natural, All the President's Men, The Sting, maybe the best caper movie, Butch Cassidy, one of the best westerns. So he would do every genre, Barefoot in the Park. He could do a rom-com. I think he was underrated as an actor, only one Oscar nomination as an actor.
Barefoot in the Park. That was one of his first movies, right?
Yeah, Neil Simon Comedy. Played that with his friend Jane Fonda.
Yeah. Richard Roper, thank you. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. Sponsored by AmericanEagle.com, web design, development, and digital marketing agency.